Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 42nd episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you valuable information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. This series of five broadcasts started out to be five serious stressors. Which are you doing? So let's review the five serious stressors. The first one is living in drama. The second one is avoiding peace. The third is avoiding lying. That was an interesting session. The fourth is avoiding change, which is the one we're going to talk about today. And the fifth is living in the past or future. So I just finished doing a blab, B-L-A-B, blab.im, with Kimberly Henry on this very subject right before this radio show. And it was interesting because we had some nice interaction going on, and she was able to ask some questions, and I was able to ask some questions of her. So I'll do a little bit of a review of the blab, but we'll talk more in depth about the stages of change and what that is. So we've talked about stress being the demand for change based on a human. The adaptive demand for change placed on any organism. Bacteria can even be stressed. But as humans, we do create a lot of our own stresses. And I remember watching one time, YouTube, I believe it was, a filming class or whatever, about a Petri dish. And there were some organisms in the Petri dish. And a toxin was placed on the left side of the Petri dish. And we watched as the organisms, almost of accord, almost as one whole organism, move over to the right side of the Petri dish and away from the toxins. And then in the second Petri dish, there were organisms floating around, and nutrition or nourishment for the organisms was dropped into the Petri dish. And again, almost of one accord, those organisms moved right into the nourishment. And we're designed to do this. We're designed to move into things that make us feel better and away from things that make us feel disempowered, unhappy, stressed. Okay? However, a lot of the things that are in our environment that are toxins, we don't perceive as toxins. And a lot of the things that are our environment that are perceived as nourishment, we don't perceive as nourishment because we think cognitively and we have a mind. And I was listening to Dr. Dane here of Access Consciousness, and his statement is, the mind is a terrible thing, waste it. So So a lot of our stress is actually created in our mind, and we've talked about stress being the result of three perceptions: your perception of the stressor, your perception of your coping skills, and your perception of the difference between the two. So I started today's show without reading the quote, and I just now realized it. So I'd like to read it. The author is unknown. It's "Take charge of your attitude. Don't let someone else choose it for you." And we've talked a lot about this. We can allow people to create a lot of stress in our lives because we think on some level that people can make us feel a certain way or that we can make other people feel a certain way. And that simply isn't true. I cannot choose to make you all feel better. I would love to, but I can't make you. And I often tell my clients, if you give me that power, first of all, I don't know that you've given it to me, so I'm not doing anything with it. But second of all, by you giving it to me, you're disempowering yourself. And that means that you have fewer choices to make yourself happy rather than greater choice of thinking someone else can make you be happy. And once people grasp that understanding, it's like the light goes on. And I love seeing that. That's one of the great joys. When people start claiming their power back about the changes and the choices that they want to make and not letting anyone make those changes or choices for them, but actually understanding it enough so that they participate in the process at all levels, it's so thrilling. It gives me kind of goosebumps just sitting here thinking about it. So we keep thinking change is hard, and when I talked with Kimberly Henry, and she has a blab at 8:30 on every day Mountain Time. But when I asked her what does she think about change, and she went authentically, "Oh no, oh God," you know. And then I said, "Okay," and she said, "No, that I mean now I realize that's what I think about change. It's like, oh God, please. It's hard. It takes too much energy. I can't do it. It just is too hard." Well, the realization that I'd like for you, my listeners, to get is that you're changing every day. And there's a lot of statements out in our society that help us understand this. I'm older today than I've ever been in my entire life. I'm living at an age I've never been before. We change all the time. There's a cyclic process to cellular regeneration. And every cell in your body is replaced at least once every 7 years. Every single cell. Now, if that's not change on a material level, I'm not quite sure what is. However, when your cells replicate, they replicate with the RNA, and so they bring forth the experience of the previous cell and replicate it. However, interesting part of this is that you can have a thought, feeling, or emotion that you've never had before, and you can change the structure of your cells with that thought, with that feeling, with that emotion. And it changes the whole history of the cell. So, let's talk about the cycles of change just very briefly before we come up into our break. The cycles of change are pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and termination. And I'd like for you to kind of envision a wheel, and these stages of change are all aspects of the outer edge of the wheel. Pre-contemplation moves into contemplation, moves into preparation, moves into action, moves into maintenance, and then you have termination. Now, you can have termination come in at any stage. You can start to have a great idea, but before you do anything with it, you kick it out. You judge it as not valuable or not important, and you terminate the change process right then with that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to do anything with it. If an idea comes from pre-contemplation and moves into contemplation, then you start thinking about it, figuring it out, seeing if it's something that's important to you or something that you want to do. Again,
You can have an idea that moves all the way through contemplation, and you can terminate it. I don't want to do it. I don't have the materials I need. Because the next step then is preparation. What do I need to do this? Who do I need to tell? How do I need to work this into reality? Because you're taking something that's an energetic and moving it now into the material world. How does that look or feel or seem to you? What do you need to do it? Who can help you? Who can you help? All of those things enter into the preparation phase. And then comes the big courage test, a big bravery test. I thought about it. I want to do it. I prepared for it. I've got all my ducks in a row. Now I have to act. And it is the action phase that really, for those of you who are familiar with energy anatomy, engages the third, second, and first chakras. But until you have an action, you don't have anything that is material, that is real, that is actionable, and you cannot share it with anybody in the pre-contemplation phase, because no matter how clearly you tell someone, their idea of it and their interpretation of it will always be different than yours. It's not until you do something that you can come to agreement or consensus. So I'll talk about kind of a hot button topic right now, just a hot button topic. I was talking with a friend of mine about Obamacare, and she works in the world of chiropractic. And we were just talking, and she said, you know what? The people who signed that bill into law had not read everything, had not done their homework on it, and yet they still signed it into law. So what they did was, it sounds like it's a good idea, which is contemplation. We do a little bit of preparation, and we have a bunch of preparation done, but we don't really move through that stage fully, and we put it into action. We signed it into law. And then everybody's wandering around going, well, why isn't it working? Why did no one understand this would happen? Why doesn't anybody get this? How come this bill is a law and nobody understands it? Because they skipped over the rest of the contemplation and the preparation stage, and they moved right into action. And now we're left to maintain it with people who haven't even understood what the change is all about. They haven't gotten the big picture, and they haven't gotten the minute details. So it was almost doomed from the start because it did not flow through the process of change. It was forced into it and squeezed into it, and now there's big gaps appearing in the maintenance because they were not followed through fully. So another interesting dynamic that we'll talk about after the break is, again, coming back to your mind. The mind does not know the difference between something real and something imagined. So you had all of these people with their idea or their reality or their imagination creating a vision, and everyone thought they were working towards the same vision. The reality is, once the action was taken, people began to understand that no one had the same vision. And then no one had the same way to achieve that vision, because there wasn't some small steps, some testing, some dynamics that help people understand. When you take an action, you're going to get feedback. And we'll talk about this again. Once we get back from the break, we'll talk about negative feedback and positive feedback. And we'll talk about some of those types of things that happen during the natural process of change. And they are a part of the process of change. They're not good or bad, right or wrong, up or down, inside or outside. So let's take a quick break talking about the Calm Moms free report. And remember, please, that the time for the bonus audio has ended. It may come back at a future date, but I'd also encourage you to sign up for the Calm Moms webinar. And you can sign that up on the link on the page for this Blog Talk Radio show. And I look forward to seeing you on the other side of the break. We'll find out a little bit more about why change can be so hard and why we get the oh no's when we're thinking about change.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you so much for hanging in there. Please remember to get your Calm Moms free report or listen to the blab. I'll see what I can do to include the blab link in today's session notes. So that would be interesting for you to see as well. It was recorded and it's there for all posterity. So why do we perceive change as being hard and not necessarily wanting to come into it? Well, there are a few things that are working against us. First of all, we talked about your mind and your mind being a terrible thing, wasted. But in the reality, if we go through the cycles of change, and I'd like for you to kind of imagine that wheel again, pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and termination. In your mind, if you actually have a vision of what the outcome is of your idea, and let's do something pretty concrete. Say in my business, I want to design a logo, and I have this concrete idea of what the logo is supposed to look at like. And it's really there, and it's really fixed. Well, interestingly enough, your nervous system and your energetic system will perceive that that image in your mind has already been created. So somehow or another, it'll even bypass some of the contemplation and preparation, and you'll call up a graphic designer, and you'll say, this is my idea, and then you'll say, okay, and please create it for me. If you haven't done your contemplation of what it means and what design elements are in there and why they're in there, what colors to use, and you haven't done maybe a preliminary sketch or looked at other websites or whatever, your graphic designer is going to take your vision, put it into what their vision is, and they may give you something that is so totally out in left field, you begin to wonder, what were we even talking about? Did they even get my vision? No, they didn't, because those missing two stages meant that for you it was already done and you could see it in your mind's eye, so you skipped the preparation and the contemplation stages. The graphic designer goes from thinking that they're on the same vision page as you, but interpreting it through her preparation and contemplation phases and coming up with something that might not even be in even the same ballpark as what you had decided. But if you have done your contemplation and your preparation and you say, I want to use the color purple because it's this, and I want to have
this symbol in there because that's important to me. And I've pulled up 5 websites of how I'd like for it to look. And you hand that to your graphic artist. They can begin creating your vision based on your contemplation and your preparation, not what they've done, but what you've done. You see the difference? If you skip those 2 stages, you wind up with a vision that may not work at all. It may not have any basis in reality. But you had to overcome the mind's natural inclination to think of it as being done. And then it looks like, oh, God, to do all this preparation and contemplation, it's more, why can't somebody just take what's in my head and put it on a piece of paper? Well, no one else can do that because you can't do that. So those 2 steps of contemplation and preparation are important. And the more that you do those and the more that you feel it is reflective of the vision that you have in your mind's eye, the easier it is to make the change. So then you'll hit the action phase. And it's actually picking up the phone or getting on the computer to find a graphic designer whose work that you like, to find out where they hang out. And that may not be your area of expertise. So that fear of, what if I don't communicate well to my designer? What if I can't find a good one? What if I spend a lot of money and it never works? What if? And those questions can throw you into fear and out of taking action. I talked to someone about 3 weeks ago. And they said, I've had a logo in my head for 2.5 years now, and no one seems to get it. And I've spent hundreds of dollars, almost $1,000 now, and I can't find anybody who comes close. And I said, what did you give them to work with? Well, I told them about it. Again, that's all that vaporous, non-physical energy that does not take shape or form until you do an action with it. And to do an action, you need to do your contemplation and your preparation. Once you've done an action with it, once you've made a sketch or a drawing, or you've found some similar designs, or you've picked your colors, those are all some actions in the preparation phase. Then you can move into the action. Then someone else can see what you have. And get feedback. This is the other huge drawback for change. The people that you know in your life expect you to behave in certain ways and do certain things and do things a certain way. And when you change that, it begins to freak them out. And they're not quite sure what to do. Wow, gosh, you know, Stephanie's talked about her logo for 2.5 years. Now she's actually got one. Oh, my gosh, I wish I could be happy for her. But I'm happier when she lives in the preparation phase because that's where I am. And I feel more comfortable with her when she's in preparation and I'm in preparation. I don't like it that she's taken some action. You'll find people will not be fully accepting of your change unless you have done some preparation with them about your change. Interesting, okay? So now you've done the change, and you got some feedback. You've done some action. It's only when you do action that the universe can conspire on your behalf to make it happen because you have been willing to step into action with it. And at that moment, you get feedback from the universe or feedback from other people, and you can perceive it as negative feedback and stress yourself out. Or you can perceive it as constructive criticism and find newer and better ways to tweak what you're doing so that it works better for everyone involved. So we come back to the logo. Say you've got a graphic designer. If you slam down on them and you say, this wasn't what I had at all, you really screwed it up, this doesn't match my vision, how willing do you think that graphic designer is going to work with you? They're going to get angry, and they're not going to fulfill their part of the agreement with you. If you come back in and you say, I'm so glad that you gave me this, because now we really have something to work on. I want to move this over here. I want to shade this a different color. I want to do this here. And you give constructive feedback instead of, I don't like it or it doesn't work for me. But you tell them what doesn't work and how to fix it. It's a whole different dynamic. So you move back into preparation, you redesign, you revision, you recolor, you reshape, and you bring it back into the material world. And it is your perception of the feedback that can create a lot of stress. If you perceive the feedback as negative instead of helpful, or if you take it personally, like nothing I ever do is good enough for that person, it's stressful. If you say, oh my gosh, now we really have something to talk about. There's something real. There's a part of my world that has expanded as a result of bringing this new reality in. And we have something new to talk about and we have things to share. That change then is no longer stressful. I remember back when I was designing a logo for one of my businesses and somebody came in and I really valued their opinion and they said, well, I would never do that. And I took it as a personal criticism. I thought about that about 3 weeks later and I said, well, of course they wouldn't do it. It's not their logo, it's my logo. And once I just kind of reframed it lightly, well, of course they're not going to do it, it's not theirs. I was able to let that go. They didn't offer me any changes. They didn't offer me any ways of doing things. They just said, I don't like it, and I would never do that. That's not helpful. That's not helpful feedback. The feedback that you're looking to get in the action phase is what works and what doesn't. And then you make the adjustments, and you move into maintenance phase. The maintenance phase is a lot easier, a lot less energetically demanding, and you've accomplished what you set out to do. It may not be pretty, but there it is. You've moved it into action. Something existed that never existed before. Some new behavior, some new thought, some new physical image like a logo, some new physical presence like a toy or something that you built and finally designed, some new piece of software. So when you understand the stages of change and how change can work to your greatest benefit, you'll begin embracing it more and more. You'll move through the more energetically demanding phases of it and come back into the maintenance of it. And then, eventually, termination. So I hope this has been helpful for you. Thank you for joining me. Let's see, what is another quote that I have for today? This is by Tom Stoppard. We as humans give advice by the bucket, but take it by the grain. That fits so well into this change cycle. I've got this great logo. I've put it out there. I've told everybody what they can do with their logos and how they can have great logos. But when somebody comes to give me feedback on mine, I'm going to take it by the grain. I'm not going to be actually open to it unless I choose differently. Okay. It's my grandson's birthday this week. We're going to go up and have a birthday party. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And the stress tool that I have today is that I can choose to change consciously and make change my friend. It doesn't have to be hard. The stress comes from my perception that change is hard, not that it actually is. That's all for today's show. And I'm off to play with my grandchild this weekend. I encourage you to email in at info@makingshiftshappen with any questions you might have or to add to the speed round. I'd like to thank everyone who has signed up for my free reports, and I'd like to welcome you to join me on the Blab IM, and I'm going to do it for a half hour before the radio show to get questions and comments from live people that are floating out in Blab world. Thank you so much for joining me today. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.